God in the house. I'm here with my friend, Pastor Victor. And of course, all the officers. It's a challenge to do ministry in a military environment. Because these guys are weaved. So there's too much discipline in their lives. So if they say 5 minutes, when it's 1 minute to the time, you're already being notified. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. Glory to Jesus. I salute all the officers in the house this morning. And in the short period of time that we have, we trust God to say something to us that we touch the very depths of our hearts, where our meaning and our essence is locked, so that on the strength of that which the Lord will be doing, we will live here fresh and motivated for a new phase of our walk with God. Our anchor scripture this morning is Luke chapter 18 verse 1. And the Bible said he spake a parable unto them to this end. It says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, there are certain scriptures that has a depth that is beyond the subject matter that is being considered. Sometimes when the spirit begins to talk, it's important for you to hear the things that he's not saying that is part of the subject matter. Because the utterance of the spirit or of a spirit is crafted from his realm. And it will be difficult for you to discern what a spirit is saying by face value. Unless you are able to understand the depth and the scope of the reality of that spirit. If you interact with a spirit on the basis of face value, you may not fully articulate the body that is in the heart of that spirit. And on account of your inability to articulate the body in the heart of that spirit, you may think what the spirit is saying only addresses the subject matter. But what you don't know is that even after the subject matter is addressed, that utterance that came from that spirit is supposed to become a philosophy for your life. So when a spirit gives you a prescription, a doctor can give you an antibiotic because you have cough or you have some form of crisis. And the moment that crisis is handled, the use of that antibiotic is done and over. It is not the same with the spirit. So when the spirit comes to you and say, pray, you may have a challenge on ground and you think the reason you have to pray is to deal with that challenge. Meanwhile, that challenge that came to you was just an alarm system for you to enter into an economy that will define the meaning of your life. So the spirit took advantage of that situation to expose you to a syllabus upon which the essence of your life is designed. And until you begin to interact with what that spirit said as an eternal strategy for your life, you may not maximize it. And this is why sometimes we study the word of God. People go to pray when they are sick, and when they are healed, they think prayer is over. They study the word of God to deal with a challenge, and when the challenge is over, they think it's enough. And then the spirit that is orchestrating that challenge comes again. And when that spirit comes again, it comes with more temper and intensity. So this time around, you don't even have the energy to pray again. But if you were wise, you would have realized that prayer for you is an economy for a lifetime. That's why Jesus said, when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, it is not over. He said, it goes about in dry places, looking for where it will abode. Not finding any, it returns. So the guy who was delivered may feel that the power of God was needed to deliver him. He may not realize that the power of God is supposed to become an eternal economy by which he operates every day of his life. So when he is delivered, he runs away from the presence of God and he goes back to business as usual. And Jesus said, when that demon comes back, it will come with 7 more wicked demons. And he said, worse will be the state of that man than the beginning thereof. The next state of that man may be such that he may not even have need for deliverance anymore. He will not even contemplate deliverance. He will be lost eternally. So if that man was wise, he would begin to do business with the power of God every day of his life. So Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The key word in that scripture are two. One is what? Ought. That means prayer is not something we take advantage of to address a need. Prayer is part of our infrastructure. We were designed to be beings of prayer. So the moment we fail to pray, then the gate for challenges is opened in our lives. So the first thing Jesus was saying in that scripture was that the challenge of the widow came because she was not even praying in the first place. The moment challenge came, the widow now developed the strategy of troubling the judge. But if that widow understood the intelligence of fraternizing with the judge in the first place, she would not have a challenge. Because before the challenge would have come, her influence with that judge would have remediated the issue. So now she's bombarding the judge and exhausting all her energy to address a need that she was supposed to provide solution for. This is why many people who are supposed to be healers are walking the streets every day sick. When they become sick, then they begin to make demand on the healing anointing. Meanwhile, they are supposed to be dispensers of the healing virtues of God. So Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And secondly, the key word is always. That means you will pray when you have a problem and when you don't have a problem. Because the purpose of prayer is superior to having your needs met. Jesus was revealing to us that prayer as a divine economy was deeper than an infrastructure for just addressing your need. That means your need is the least thing that prayer is meant for. You may use prayer to address your need, but prayer is deeper than every need you will ever have in life. The purpose of prayer transcends your need. If you only pray to meet your need, then you have not understood the depths of prayer. So Jesus began to educate us that as men who are trapped in this mortal vessel, prayer for us will be a life. So he said men ought. Before he began to talk about the woman, he went back to humankind. So long as you are a man, whether you have a challenge or not, he said men ought always to pray and not to faint. So if you are not a man, then you are exonerated from prayer. But so long as you are a man, prayer for you is your life. The way you breathe oxygen, that is what the economy of prayer should be for you if you are a man. Men ought. So when a spirit begins to talk, it's important for you to settle down and meditate on his utterance, because his utterances are deeper than the context he's trying to address. You may look at that scripture and begin to educate yourself from the parable. What Jesus was talking about is deeper than the parable. If you are here and you are not praying, then you may be another kind of creature. You are not a man. You know, Apostle Alpha was telling us yesterday what it takes to be a man. But if the divine will consider you to be a man, one of the indicators in the heights of the heavens that will show that you are a man living on earth is the degree to which your prayer ascends to heaven. So if your prayer is not touching the heights of the heaven, God may think you are another creature. But so long as you are a man, he say what? Men ought. So if you are on earth and you are not praying, maybe you are an amoeba in heaven. But for heaven to see you as a man, the only thing that they will check, you know, if you are alive, the doctor will check you by consciousness. When your consciousness is gone, they say you are in coma. They don't know whether you are going away from life or you are still here, so they call it coma. There is nothing the doctor can do for you. They just put you under life support. They will begin to work with you when consciousness resumes. So in heaven, one of the ways that heaven judges that you are still a man on earth is what? By prayer. So the Bible said something in Revelation chapter 5 verse 8. It said the prayers of the saints are sent to heaven as orders, and they are stored up in golden vials. So every time a man prays, God stores it up in heaven. His needs are already met. But that prayer that ascends to heaven, God hears it as incense. They come as odors. They are the fragrances of heaven. That God has a purpose on earth that mortal men are still accomplishing. So the only reason that will make you relevant in the height of Zion is that you are also providing aroma in heaven. And the Bible said those aromas are precious to God. So much so that he stores them up as odors in golden vials. So even after you are dead and gone from this world, in heaven, your name on earth will still be resonating. This is why till tomorrow we still call the name of Abraham. Because of the kind of legislation that Abraham carried out, he became an eternal figure. Immortality is not just judged by your ability to live forever. Immortality is also judged by your relevance with God for eternity. So long as we live on this side of the divide, the name Abraham will be relevant, because there is something that ascended to heaven and God stored it in golden vials. The reason a man will die and go away and be forgotten in heaven is because he doesn't have anything in the storehouse of heaven. You may have mansions on earth and cars and people will hail you, but when the spirit comes to check you, he will check how much volume of prayer do you have in heaven. Then you will discover that you are not considered as a man. Because what? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. What if we decided the portrait of heaven is open now, and then God begins to show us our figure? Some of us, the last time our prayer went to heaven was 1 year ago. When we wake up, we say, "Thank you, Father." We are wearing tie to catch up with the office. So we are creatures of office. Our definition is based on our assignment in our office. But the unfortunate thing is that those assignments are mundane. Those assignments does not sustain the capacity to journey with you through the portals of the great divide. When you die, your certificates, your credentials, and your record among men will end on earth. There are few things that can travel with your soul when you cross the veil, because you don't have authority over your soul. There is a spirit that carries you through the veil of the divine, and that spirit carries few commodities with you. One of them is the quality of prayer that ascended with you as incense to heaven. It is possible for you to be reading in heaven while you are on earth. It depends on your echoes in Zion. That's why some men walk on earth like immortal entities. A man will come and say, "So long as I live, there will be no rain or dew," and heaven backs it up. You don't know why. He's not only living on earth, he has infrastructures built in the heavens. So when he talks, heaven have no choice but to back him up. Jesus was walking in Nazareth. He said, "The Son of Man which is in heaven." He has an account in heaven, and that account is robust. So when he speaks on earth, he's spending a currency from heaven. You think it's just to come and speak boldly, go and talk boldly, and then you will sense the slap of a demon possessed, because you don't have anything stored in the warehouse of heaven. He said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." The reason one man can come to your family and end a plague that have killed 15 people, and it's like he's playing, is because he knows how to store data in heaven. You don't have data. So on earth, you are just a man breathing, and your value is based on the breath on your nostril. But there are men like Abel that even after they died, they had so much stature that they could command the courts of heaven to listen to them. God said the voice of his blood is crying to me from the ground. You are alive, you are praying, heaven is not hearing. Heaven doesn't even know when you have a problem. But there's another man who even after he's dead, he could assemble the courts of heaven. The whole judge of all would have to intervene, because he could not die. He was an immortal entity. He had done business with this spirit so much that even after oxygen was taken from his nostril, he was still alive. They understand the economy of immortality. They know how to store data in the heights of the heaven. Men ought never listen to a spirit and consider it by face value. If you judge a spirit by face value, you have no understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. It therefore means that even though we have to do everything we need to do to be relevant in time, there are economies that are higher than everything we know to do in time. A man must first of all become popular among spirits for him to rule among men. A man must first of all gain rank in heaven for him to have rank on earth. This is why a 10-year-old witch can paralyze a professor. She is doing business in a higher plane. The professor may be a professor emeritus. He has taught in the university. He's a university don. But a witch of 10 years comes, and she understands how to travel beyond time into eternity. So he does something and the professor becomes paralyzed. The professor can even be a neurosurgeon. He understands how the brain works, but he doesn't have the power to immobilize the nerve cells of the brain. Men ought. You are only invincible on earth to the degree that you can stay in heaven. When a spirit speaks, discern that spirit correctly. Men ought. I want to show you four things this morning that I call higher purpose of praying. Because you can journey through this life and walk by your skill and technocracy. You can walk through life by human wisdom. And then you build something, and after 35 years, you see a man that has a beautiful family. Sons graduating from the university, after 35 years, you hear that they were driving home for Christmas and a trailer crushed them. Because he doesn't know how to store data in heaven. The devil was just waiting for him. He labored after 35 years. A trap was set for him 35 years before he got married. But he doesn't know how to enter into the future. Men of prayer don't die. They journey from time to eternity. They can determine what will happen to them on earth. They can shape things on earth. They can move the hand of God. They are never taken unawares. Even if they die, it's because they submit themselves to it. That's why men like Paul will go to Jerusalem. He knew that he needed to bear testament before the king. So for him, that was his vent and a gateway into heaven. Things don't happen to them. They make things happen. Imagine how frustrating it would be for a man to labor for 35 years and then you hear that him and his family are wiped away because a witch, sometimes it's even a witch, a 10-year-old witch, stood on the road and then he stopped the front tire and the car somersaulted. A witch. You know what that witch may be doing? Maybe that's her IT. And then she came to do her IT on your family that you labor to build for 35 years. A witch, IT. On your family, men ought. You don't know what I want to talk about. I was a preacher. I was popular and known. But every 3 years, a hawk came to my family and picked somebody. My mother died. My cousin died. My brother died. And I said, wait, what is this? And then God began to teach me priesthood intelligence. You pray for people, they are healed. You pray for things, they happen. But you don't have a surveillance over your family, because your prayer is directed to needs. Your prayer is not an economy in heaven. The day you begin to pray as an economy, then you create a radar around your family. The devil will have no passageway anymore. And then this year, the same hawk came, and when the hawk came, we saw it in the spirit, and I tapped my friend. I said, come. And we stood up around 12. We began to pray, and an angel descended in the room. The angel was burning. Everything about him was like a sun. And then I knew judgment had come, and we released judgment. 2 months later, the man died. He began to decay in his room. And before he died, 2 months later, he confessed. And he said, he killed my brother 2 years ago. That means the life of my brother was in my hand. But because I didn't understand priesthood, my brother fell off my hand. When I was crying and asking God why, God was the one asking me why. Because the purpose of that young man was in my hand, but I didn't know I was a priest. I will pray for things to happen, but I never knew that prayer was an economy that preserved the heritage of God in the life and in the family. The purposes of God will never be accomplished until men know how to fill the clouds of heaven with the dew of prayer. Because men ought always to pray and not to faint. This microphone I'm carrying today was an investment of my mother for more than 30 years. She kept me before the Lord. She said, this one will serve you. And many years later in the university, I met strange friends, and they began to teach me the way of the club. The thing became worse when my mom died, and I said, I will become a bad boy. But you know what? My voice couldn't go to heaven. Her voice was already registered in heaven, and on the strength of her voice, there was a signature on my forehead. Even though I say I will be a bad boy, heaven couldn't hear that one anymore. Men ought. It was in the club when I was dancing that a light came out of the wall and arrested me like this. So I was carried to the altar. I didn't come here because I chose to serve God. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Did you read about Jacob? The guy was a man of the senses, a man of the flesh. He was the custodian of the Abrahamic blessing. He lived for his appetite. But he was journeying, and then he came to Bethel. And when his head touched the altar of Abraham, the heavens opened.
He was arrested. The guy had no plan to serve God. But what? Men ought always to pray. So Abraham negotiated the destiny of his children on the altar of prayer. So long as you are from the bloodline of Abraham, you have no choice but to serve God. Because men ought. The altars of Abraham will travel with you. Anywhere you go, that altar will gather you back to the Lord. Men ought always to pray. When a spirit speaks, pray that you discern. We spend hours in our offices. You are in the office from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. You have 10 million in the bank. You think that is what life is about. You are a joker. May no demon do an IT on your family. You don't know the deeper meaning of life. May God help you. Let me tell you, the Bible said there is an evil day for every man. Because the devil is roaring. Moving like a roaring lion, looking for whom to devour. The day when evil come, may God help you to have enough stature. Because he says if you faint in the day of trouble, it's not because God is not on the throne, it's because your strength is small. Men ought, he said, the prayers of the saints, they ascend to heaven as others. They are stored in golden vials. What is your storage in heaven? Men ought. Men ought. Men. May we not testify for something that the devil wants to use to ridicule us. May I not stand and testify about my daughter, whereas the devil has set a trap for her to become a harlot. Because I don't know the intelligence of guiding her future. Before my children are born, I will tell them what they will do. Did you read about Jacob? He said, gather around me, you sons of Israel. I will tell you the things that will befall you. Why? He said, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and have prevailed. So if Jacob tells his son, he said, the scepter will not depart from Judah until Shiloh come. It doesn't matter where Judah lives. Anywhere he goes, he's a king among men. Anywhere, he's a king. Because a man of prayer has altered his destiny. And the moment he speaks, the codings are documented in the heavens. Even the powers of the heavens support him. Because the man spoke. Did you see when Isaac blessed Jacob? He said, I bless you with corn and wine. What about inflation? Inflation is not a factor. Because he has blessed him with the dew of heaven. Anywhere that guy goes, he will prosper. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Why would our children be wayward? We don't have stature in the spirit. You can wake up and tell your child that so long as you live, you will serve the Lord. And we have no choice. Because when you speak, the heavens, you mobilize angels. You mobilize the laws of the spirit realm. You mobilize nature. He can go to a harlot and the harlot will reject him. Because you say, so long as you live, you will serve the Lord. Men ought always to pray. We don't know the economy of prayer. Things don't happen to men of prayer. You can stand up and tell your child, anywhere you go, you are a king. Your child may think it's luck. Anywhere he goes, people will serve him. Did you read? Oh, Jesus need to help us. Jesus need to help us. Men ought. Men ought. What is your prayer life like? So that you don't labor for 50 years and then the wind comes from Hades and sweep away your labor. And then you cry and say, God, where are you? Jesus is a spirit. So he spoke from the depths of heaven. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is how we shape the systems of the world. This is how we preserve our destiny and we become invincible. This is how we determine the destiny of nations. We bet them in prayer. The Bible said in Colossians 4:12, he said, Epaphras is one of you, a born servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So the reason the church of God was thriving in Colossae was not because of the pastors that were in Colossae. It was because a man was at the back of the cave by the name Epaphras. So long as he was praying, the believers in Colossae will stand. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travel again for you in prayers, until Christ be formed. So Paul didn't need to preach so much to them. He created and bettered Christ in their spirit. Our children don't have any right to be evil. Our children have no right to be corrupt. If only we understand the intelligence of the altar. Men ought always to pray.
Let me tell you, don't waste your time advising anybody. Because the things that manipulate human decision, they are born from the realm of the spirit. That's why a virgin can enter a university and on the day of her matriculation, she's disflowered. A young man who is decent enters the university and is initiated into the work court on the day of his matriculation. Because he came under a radar. That university, there is an energy ambience in that university. There is a prince of immorality there. So the guy only had advice, and advice was a rational thinking process that was formed in his soul. But he came to a place where there was an orchestration from the womb of the spirit. So the spirit, the energy he interacted with, the advice can't stand it. Because anything born in the spirit will overwhelm everything in your senses. This is why many go to the university, they become harlots in 200 level. Because they are under an energy that they cannot interact with. The energy controls them. It regulates their thinking process. It chokes them. Why do you think men go to Babylon and they become Babylonians? Only four men were Israelites in Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with Daniel. The whole Israelite became Babylonians. Because those ones, they said they will not defy themselves by the king's meat. They were consecrated to the altar. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 6 from verse 10, he said Daniel prayed 3 times in the day as his custom was. Men ought. You don't know the way of prayer. I tell you, you will be swallowed up. Because this world is a fallen creation. You are mighty on your throne. You may be seated. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. Come. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. You reign. Come. You are mighty on your throne.
We just have 10 minutes more. It's a body. But because we are family men, let me show you one purpose of prayer. This word belongs to the devil. I know somebody is surprised. See, we are pilgrims in this world. You and I, we are pilgrims. We are ambassadors of heaven, and God sent us to this world to carry out a purpose which centers around soul winning. This is not our word. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, he called the devil the god of this world. Jesus on the mount of the mountain of temptation, the devil came to him. He showed him the whole world and the beauty of the world. He said, bow to me, I will give it to you because it has been delivered to me. Jesus never challenged the statement because that was the fact. He is in possession of the Adamic authority. So he has rulership over this world. This is why before God creates anything in this world again that has eternal scope, that thing must first of all be born from heaven. Everything in this world now that survives, its foundation is in heaven. Because anything that has its foundation on earth now, the devil can manipulate it. This is why somebody can give birth to a child and he was born deaf and dumb. In John chapter 9, they came to Jesus. They said, who sinned that this man was born blind? Is it him or his parents? Jesus said, none of them. There is somebody that has authority to manipulate creation. In fact, the Bible said in Romans chapter 8 verse 19, that creation itself is in bondage. There is an authority that is ruling over this world now. The only way to survive in this world and to establish anything in this world to last forever is if you get it from heaven. From the fall, that was the only way God began to institute systems in the world. As spiritual as starting a ministry is, if it is not revealed from heaven, if you do it, it will collapse. The devil will choke it, you will frustrate until you run away. That's why many pastors become swindlers. Because it may look spiritual, but it will not survive. The same thing with your family. Start a family because you think the lady is from a well-to-do home, and then they are disciplined, they are godly, they are this. After 10 years, you will cry for love. And most people that did that already know what I'm talking about. Our foolish generation, we want to marry, we see the girl, she's tall, she has shape. You are judging from the natural.
and you don't know the beings manipulating the earth, they are sitting in the heavenlies. Until you are able to pick something higher than the realm where those guys dwell, it will not survive. Everything God is building now that has eternal foundation, it came from heaven. In Genesis chapter 6, from verse 5 to verse 18, the Bible revealed to us what God wanted to do when he wanted to start the new world with Noah. The Bible said God gave him the pattern of the ark from heaven. There were many boats on earth, all of them sank. Noah was not the first to create an ark. There were many other arks, all of them sank. The only ark that floated on the water was the one that its dimension was given from heaven. So the ark will not float on the water because boats float on water. The ark will only float on the water because the dimensions came from heaven. God wanted to create a place of worship. In Exodus chapter 25, chapter 40, verse 25 and verse 9, verse 40, right? Exodus 25, verse 9 and verse 40. He told Moses, he said, build the ark according to the pattern that was revealed to you from the mount. Don't just go and build a house because it's a covering. I'm not looking for a covering. For this thing to survive, you must get it from heaven. Anything that doesn't come from heaven now does not survive in time. When God wanted to start the church, as spiritual as the church is, because Jesus knew that the gate of hell will fight it. Because in this world now, we are on a battlefield. There was no way Jesus could start the church. He carried the people around. There was no way. Because the church will only have its foundation from heaven for you to survive. And he gathered. He said, who do men say, I, the Son of Man, I am? Matthew chapter 18, verse 16 to 18. He said, some say you are Elias. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are Isaiah. Some say you are one of the prophets. Ah, no wonder there was no church on earth again. And he said, you, who do you say I am? And Peter spoke. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Quickly, Jesus said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And immediately Jesus said, upon this revelation, I will build my church. For the first time, I have seen a foundation that came from heaven. I can build the church now. And he said, the gate of hell will not prevail. So the reason the gate of hell will not prevail is because the foundation came from the Spirit. The same thing applies to your family. If your family has no foundation from the Spirit, there is crisis. Because the house, the foundation will be like quicksand. And when the winds come, you will be amazed. This is why men pray. We pray so that everything God commits to our hand, as we come into time, we can receive a blueprint from Zion. Because only then will it survive. And if we don't find it, there will be crisis. It was after Noah came out from the ark that we understood how Noah was able to get the pattern. You know, the Bible just said in Genesis chapter 6 from verse 5 down, it said Noah found grace with God. And you think because he was grace, he went to build the ark. When he came out, immediately the Bible said he erected an altar. He erected an altar. When we talk about Moses, again and again, he went to the mountain in prayer. That was where they got those things from. Men ought. If you don't pray, everything you build is on quicksand. The reason you may be thriving now is because the devil don't have your time yet. In this life, there is a level you can never cross unless a spirit aids you. Start a business. You think business is about hard work and excellence. There's a threshold you get to, a spirit will appear to you because they are gatekeepers for every level in this life. There is a level of fame you cannot have until a spirit appears to you. There are many people doing the same business in this world. Only few break through. They know how to fraternize with spirits. There's a level your family cannot get to until you know how to fraternize with the spirit. Even this message, gospel we are preaching, we are all preachers, and all of us are preaching the word of God, but few are known. I preached for 13 years. It was in 2019 that God came to me and said, I will begin to announce you. Is it not the same message I'm preaching? For 13 years, we were on every social media platform. We were posting things. Nobody looked at it. The same strategy. We were now applying it, and then you drop one message online, you see 23,000 views. I released 6 messages on the 1st of March. On the 14th of March, I have contact from 17 nations of the world. What happened to the 13 years? Because a spirit came and said, I will begin to announce you. Because when a spirit begins to fraternize with you, then even the elements of creation begin to pack you up. Did you read about the four lepers? Four people that their ankles and nails are eaten up. They are trekking to the camp of the enemy, and the enemies were hearing sounds of chariots. Because a spirit was announcing their arrival. So what the enemies were hearing were chariots. When God wants to announce you, if you cough in your room, they will hear a trumpet in America. The same joke. You hear when daddy gave his testimony. They invited 40 people, one didn't come for no just cause. And then of all that were applying, they say, you bring your own now. And then he that was the last to be recruited became the head of the class. You think life is coincidence? Men ought. Let me tell you, study and study very well. But don't jump on a job because there is an opportunity. Some of my friends, when we didn't have enough understanding, we were all laboring. One was picked for short service in 2013. It was in the training ground that he fell from a mountain and died. What you will call a blessing. Don't jump at things because of opportunity. That's how the natural man thinks. A spiritual man moves because his steps are ordered by the Lord. But you cannot sense the move of the Spirit until you make the altar your dwelling place. It's an error to spend more time on anything in this world than prayer. Because the blueprint of your life, they are on the mountain. Your advantage is on the mountain. Your strength is on the mountain. Everything you do, you will labor for many years. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never take advantage of your talent. It's until a spirit breathes upon it. That's where it will come. We were orators for many years, talking big grammar. All we had were hand claps. But now, somebody had my message. And she had a 6 minutes message. And she transferred 530,000 naira to me from another country. The same message that I was preaching and people were clapping. Somebody heard it for 6 minutes and sent me half a million. Because a spirit had breathed on it. I came to this place. I didn't have a message this morning. I just stood here and I was trusting God. You know, we are not teachers. A teacher can prepare a message because God told him the challenge of the people. And then he prepares a teaching because they build men. We set men on fire. So we need to connect to heaven to download what God is saying per time. So even while I came to this church this morning, I didn't have a message. I was here, I told my friend, God needs to help. Better be praying. And then when the sister came out and she was worshipping, suddenly the heavens opened. And I said, oh, this one is anointed. See, that's why we know anointed people. It's not melody that creates anointing. It is the supply of the Spirit. When she began to worship, instantly the heavens opened. And what I'm telling you now began to download in my spirit. It began to download in my spirit. It began because somebody was singing at the choir. Hey, you don't know how the spirit realm works. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Just in case you don't have a job description, I'm giving you one this morning. Make prayer your life, and then your life will become invincible. Jesus said, as the wind bloweth, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He says, so are they that are born of the Spirit of God. You want to be invincible in this realm? Then prayer must become your life, because your advantage is on the mountain. There are many forces in this world that can manipulate even the tides of nature. When Job was attacked, wind came from nowhere, fire. The devil has the power to manipulate nature. You can submit a contract for 10 years and the devil will make them not to see your fire. For you to have an advantage in time, you must become a creator of prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. For those of us who are young, it's easier so that you don't journey in the wrong direction. It may take you many years of delay to get back. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was driving from Asokoro. I wanted to go to Wuse Zone 2. Somehow, I was approaching the roundabout. I was using the, how do you call it now? Google app. All this they are Google Navigator or Google app. And then the lady talking, the program voice, now said, you get to the roundabout in 200 meters, take the second turn by the right. And then I entered the first turn. Lo and behold, I found myself in Wuye. A journey of 15 minutes now took 25 minutes because the app needed to re-navigate. Sometimes the reason you are delayed so much in your life is because God is trying to re-navigate. You missed God 5 years ago. So it's taking another 5 years of renavigation. Don't waste your life by living by chance. He said the step of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. But your step cannot be ordered until you can see into the Spirit. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. This is my charge for you this morning. Can we bow our heads and ask God to open the heavens over our lives? There are whispers you need to hear from Zion that will constitute your advantage in time. And until you hear those whispers, your life may not come. Kenneth Hagin was a preacher for 13 years until Jesus came to him after 13 years and told him, you just entered the first phase of your prophetic call. So that 13 years, what was he doing? What was he doing? There is so much to conquer in this world. We cannot afford to live by chance. We need a clear-cut direction of the Holy Spirit. But the only way we can plug in is by subscribing to the prescription of the immortal spirit that spoke in time. He said, man ought always to pray and not to faint. Talk to Jehovah. When I looked around the happenings in the lives of men, I discovered the only true advantage we have in time is the advantage of the spirit. I have seen millionaires crash after many years of labor. I have seen families wasted on the street after many years of love and affection. Beauty. I discovered the only advantage you have as a mortal man in the realm of time is the economy of prayer that you subscribe to, that brings you to a height in the mountains of Zion. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. What is your prayer quota? What are you storing in heaven? When you speak, is there an echo in the mountains of God? The Bible said that prayers of the saints, it ascends to heaven as orders. They are stored up in golden vials so that once and again, God can make reference to it. Some of us, the prayer we pray is the reason why the lady cannot be raped. Because there is something stored in heaven and God can draw from it and it will still be just. Some of us, the reason somebody will not die by accident is because our prayers are ascended as order. So on the economy of our prayer, God can intervene in an accident. God can intervene in a robbery because we have data in heaven. This is why the mightiest of men may not be the ones on the stage. The intercessors that have no name among men, who are hidden by the caves in heaven, when the saints march in, you will be shocked. The great men that we call generals in heaven. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Kamaraha safaliana karias. Shalibranda sombra katalila rahaskis. Take me deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love to be deeper in love.
Deeper than I've ever been before. Jesus, I want to know you more than this. How I long to be deeper in love. There is a longing only you can feel. A raging tempest that only you can still. Please pray. My heart is thirsty, Lord, to know you as I've known. To drink from the fountain that flows before your throne. Take me deeper in love. close in your embrace. Please take me deeper than I've ever been before. I just wanna love you more and more. How I love to get deeper.
Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for showing us your ways again.
We give you glory. We give you glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, mighty name, we are prayed. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. See, until you start growing in God, you will not understand how relevant it is what you have neglected for so long. The only reason why you'll be relevant is when you subscribe to what heaven has said. What's the message again this morning? Men ought always to what? God bless you, sir. Apostle Michael Rocco, please put your hands together. I told you.